Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The show comes your way via our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They'll help you with your last will and testament, putting together a level of trust or medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation with their team today at kmlawyers.com and mention us to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Good dudes. They'll take great care of you. We love Condori and Murad on this show. It is 5 o'clock, which means it is time to scout the opponent on this Football Friday. We're live at Kraft House in Fairfax, taking you up to a Sunday kick with the New York Giants. Let's get after it on a Football Friday. Let's scout the G-Men. And to help us break the Giants down, Charlotte Carroll, who covers the Giants beat for The Athletic, stops by. Charlotte, thank you for a few minutes. We appreciate it. Let's just begin with kind of big picture state of the union. Coach has been fired, D coordinator fired, GM Joe Shane may be fighting for his job down the stretch, and they are home favorites at 2-11. We've talked all week about just how big a deal this is for Washington to try to avoid a 12-game losing streak to end the season. This is their best shot at a win. How big of a deal is this for the Giants and whoever's job is still on the line there?
Yeah, no, it's another big game. Thanks so much for having me on. It's our first off the bye, and it's a big one coming off that disaster of a loss to the Patriots, where it felt like everything that could go wrong did, where it's summarized by that crazy kick, just kind of summarizes the state of the season a little bit too from two. But yeah, no, it's another big game, an opportunity to come off strong off the bye. And the Giants really, you know, big storyline coming into the season was the strength of schedule that they had. Now the schedule lightens up, or maybe too little too late, but they really have an opportunity to close out the season strong and kind of at least end the year with a little bit of pride and not another losing season the way it has gone in years past.
Yeah, that was just a regular 18-point loss. We do 31-point shutouts in our neck of the woods here, Charlotte. But let's go to this defense for New York first. I thought they'd be fine. I thought the calling card would be good defensive front. They might bother some people. They'll win some rock fights on occasion. My narrative coming into the season was totally wrong. This defense has really struggled. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, no, that's the question of the year, and it's been very frustrating to watch because if you're a Giants fan, you know, you were told all about this wonderful defensive front, all these new pieces. It's kind of wild when you think about the storylines in the offseason of just, you know, pretty much everyone on offense was returning besides the quarterback. Everyone was. It was 10 of the 11 starters beyond the quarterback, which had a major switch up, and yet the offense has been the one consistently, you know, kind of showing up. Jackson Dart looked impressive. And the defense here has not been able to get the job done. You've had some injuries at really critical times at juncture. I think it all started going wrong in week 7, week 8. I'm losing track of weeks. But the loss to Denver, where both starting corner Paulson Adebo and starting safety Javon Holland went out, And from there, it just kind of snowballed, and that's where the losing streak originates. And then their run defense is tragic, too. And that's been really tough to swallow, and just all these other pieces.
Charlotte Carroll covers the Giants for The Athletic. Yeah, I've been making the case this week, if I'm Kingsbury, I'm just getting downhill with Rodriguez and Krosky Merritt. We're running the football early and often. Have they shown any signs of life there in recent weeks? Have they been able to improve stopping the run, or is that still an area where they can be gashed?
It's definitely still an area. I haven't looked so much at the details yet over week to week, but I think, you know, everyone's a little bit healthier. They've gotten some pieces back defensively. See if that helps. There's also been, you know, the big storyline, change in coordinator. And they fired Shane Bowen, so that switched over. Charlie Bullen took over the job, who had been outside linebackers coach. So there's just a lot of transition and a lot of change over the course of the season, too. And then they just recently fired their assistant defensive line coach as well.
Pass defense-wise, can they be had through the air? You know, or is it just easier just to hand it off?
I'd say track record, hand it off, is on your side. But it also depends who's in there at corner. It's also questionable as well at times.
Abdul Carter's season from the outside looks like a disaster.
What a mess.
Multiple games where he hasn't started, benched for a series or a quarter, and all kinds of rumors about missing practices and meetings and whatever else. Get us up to speed on the type of year he's had when he's on the field and how salvageable his off-field stuff is.
Yeah, it's actually good timing for that question. We at The Athletic, we've done like an annual fan survey where, you know, we just put out like a Google poll and try to get people's perceptions. And one of our questions, just with the seasons that it's been since we started this, is who's the player that's most frustrated you over the course of the season? And surprisingly, Abdul Carter was top there, pretty much neck and neck with, along with cornerback Deontay Banks. But if you had said that at the beginning of the season, I mean, especially when he was drafted, you'd be like, what? How did this happen? And I think it's the perception of this kid who came in so confident enough to ask for Lawrence Taylor's number. That gets denied. This kid has been confident since he arrived at Penn State, since he was a kid. But then the play so far hasn't backed it up. And when you couple that with, you know, being late to meetings a few times and just that with the rules, you get a fan base that's very, very frustrated that this is the number three pick and it's not immediately translating. You know, the Giants this week, fresh out of the bye, have been key to harp on, you know, his attention to detail and meetings and process. So we'll be very curious to see what happens this week. He did, after he got benched before the bye, he did come out of that game with his first true sack. So we'll see if the messaging and it kind of continues and he can close out the year strong.
Who on that side of the ball, talking about the defense still, has played well, kind of has held up their end of the bargain?
Oh, my God, Brian Burns. You can't talk about this defense. For as bad as it's been, Brian Burns has been a stalwart, very consistent. He's, I think last time I checked, second in the league in stats, 13.0 in sacks. And he's just, for everything that's gone wrong, he's been the one to put in the effort, and he's just looked really, really strong this season.
Yeah, he's actually gone back-to-back games without a sack for the first time all season, which is bad news for Washington probably, that he's due. He started the year with sacks in each of his first four and I think in like eight of his first nine games. He's been very, very consistent. To your point, we're talking about the Giants and scouting the opponent right now on Grant and Danny as we get closer to kickoff, which looms on Sunday. Charlotte Carroll, the Athletic in New York, is joining us. Let's go over to the offensive side of the ball. What is the perception in town about Jackson Dart as we close in on the end of his rookie year?
Yeah, no, he's been really promising. He's been really exciting to watch. He brings a confidence and a swagger, as we've talked about. The big thing with him is just learning kind of situational awareness and when to take the hit versus not. He's someone who's been checked for concussion four times since he started, and including the preseason. Obviously missed two games with a concussion, came back to this Monday Night Football game. That was his first game back from a concussion, and then takes a massive hit very early in the game. And that's a huge talking point. And it's just, you know, trying to get it through his head and trying to get through a young player. You know, this is when you take that hit, maybe his fourth quarter versus, you know, early in the game. So just like the learning curve with that. But he's been extremely impressive and understands his role on the team. You know, you've heard the respect from teammates, but also handling kind of the New York media and what to do there as well.
How devastating, and kind of what was the reaction, and how big of a deal was the story of this year, losing Malik Nabers on that substandard turf up there that everybody complains about in New York? Just what did that do to the fan base, to the team, et cetera?
I mean, it's devastating. I mean, turf aside, turf discussion, whatever, it's just you lose a really fantastic player who's dynamic, who can really change a game with his abilities and make plays that no one really else on this roster can on a consistent basis. So, and it's also really a huge loss when you've got this rookie quarterback to be able to kind of develop him with a player of Nabers' caliber and what they could accomplish together. It's crazy. I mean, that feels so long ago. Cam Scadaboo's injury feels so long ago. The rookie running back, Scadaboo is actually walking now of his own power. Shared a video earlier this week of how his rehab is going and just walking into the facility without crutches or a brace or anything. So the season is both so long and so short at the same time that just feels like a lifetime ago.
Obviously, yeah, the Malik Nabers injury was a killer when that happened at the very beginning of the season. I look at this receiver room, and it's still just utterly unscary, I suppose. I mean, you got Wandell Robinson doing a lot of the stuff around the line of scrimmage. They'll take a deep shot at some point to Darius Slayton, so they gave a pretty big contract to. Isaiah Hodgins has had some huge games against Washington, but you know, not a whole lot of other production. For Jackson Dart, getting him to a level where they want to with this supporting cast, I mean, how much of grading on a curve do they have to do right now?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good point of, like, when you lose Malik Nabers, when you lose Scadaboo, who are his two kind of primary offensive weapons, just to start out, he's had to adjust and take into consideration other players. They've turned to Theo Johnson. They really went heavy in tight end personnel. Daniel Bellinger as well, and Theo's been good in the red zone. An option down there with he's got 5 touchdowns on the year, which is the most among kind of the receivers, tight end room. But yeah, no, it'll be interesting to kind of to reflect on that in the postseason a little bit and what they decide to do come draft, because at this point in the last season, 2-11, you're looking at draft order and Giants are number one, at least for right now. And we'll see if they end the year with that 4 games later.
To that point, currently the number one pick, we were joking how big of a game this is in terms of, you know, draft status. This has happened before. I remember when Washington and New York played in the Chase Young sweepstakes and everybody celebrated here that Washington was going to get Chase Young, and he ended up being a bust for Washington as it is. But what's the dialogue about the number one pick winning, being damaging versus needing a win in town this week in New York? How are they dealing with that?
I really don't think it's come up at all, at least in the conversations that I've had. I mean, the guys are never going to, when you're talking with players, they're never going to want to say they want to lose.
I mean, with the fans, in town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's as dominant as it was last year, because they're in a position this year where they have the quarterback in theory. Like, they've liked what they've seen from Jackson Dart. That fan poll I mentioned earlier, most, I think it was 80 to 90% believe Jackson Dart's the future. So I think that, I don't want to lower the stakes in a draft race, because obviously you want to get the best talent possible no matter the position. But it's less pressing when you're dealing with a draft class that might only have one or two top QB prospects, and you're really edging up to like get the one or two spot in the draft, as we saw the Giants miss out on Drake May in 2024. So I think the quarterback, at least having that solved, at least for right now, kind of takes the pressure off of that. If anything, I think the New York fan base is more riled up about, you know, the status of GM Joe Shane and what's going to transpire there in the coaching search come the end of the year.
What does Jackson Dart do well right now, and what does the staff and kind of your observation say he needs to improve upon?
Yeah, I think the big thing is the hits and just taking them and knowing when to kind of use that contact or contact versus not taking it. I actually asked Jackson this question because they've had a lot of time at the bye. He spent it kind of self-scouting. And he was pretty happy with a few of his things that he's done, and the coaching staff was liking it as well. I think one of his things was just kind of awareness and just being his ball security were some of the things he was happy with.
Covering the Giants, Charlotte Carroll of The Athletic in New York. All right, last one for me. Coaching search. What makes sense for them moving forward?
Great question, million-dollar one. I think they want someone experienced. They want someone kind of who's been there before. I don't know who that is at this point. You know, there's a lot of options. But, you know, they've gone the first-time coaching route previously, so maybe they go back a little bit more experienced, maybe defensive-minded. I don't know. We're going to see. And the big piece, as I mentioned, is if GM Joe Shane will be around and who wants to pair with that. But I think it's an attractive job. I mean, it's New York. It's a historic franchise, and Dart play has been well enough to at least kind of add to the appeal a little bit more as well.
Just, you mentioned Joe Shane. Does he keep his gig beyond this year? What would have to happen?
I don't know. We're going to find out. You know, his bye week presser came late this year with the Giants' bye coming in week 14. So he annually talks. And obviously that was a big topic. The big thing he said is, you know, he's going to still be evaluated by ownership come the end of the year. So I think this team needs to win. It's more just like, you know, you can't have embarrassing headlines and things like we saw out of that Patriots game to close up the year. It just kind of needs to be smooth and quiet, I would say, at least as a starting point, just from the outside.
Well, thank you for the insight, helping us get ready for the ball game and learn about the Giants. We appreciate you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks, Charlotte. You got it. Good information from Charlotte Carroll, who covers the Giants in New York for The Athletic. I don't know how you blow out the coach when you do the coordinator. They're going to look back at this draft history, and they've got a couple of hits, but the batting average is low. And they're going to see the track record, the resume, the wins, the losses, and how bad they've been as poor as they are in the standings. And Shane would keep his gig. I also think when you're blowing it up, blow it up. How many teams make this mistake where it's the coach picking the quarterback, but then a new GM comes in?
How many times did we do it here?
It's constant. So you go GM, head coach in one fell swoop. Now, they're starting with a quarterback, which isn't ideal, but it does look like he can play a little bit, which is better than if you're not sure about that and, like, Justin Fields is being inherited by somebody. But I think you got to go get your GM, who's going to hire the coach this offseason. Don't let Shane do it again, and then in a year maybe he's out but the coach isn't. Start like we did here in Washington with Peters and Quinn. Or in New York, you saw this when they put Holmes and Campbell together. Like, that's how it works. You need this harmonious, symbiotic, really healthy relationship between the two. The best way to do that is to have them come in together at the same time.
Or, hear me out on this, keep doing it the way you're doing it forever if you're the Giants. See what I'm saying? Do just like you're doing. It's going great. I want to see you down there at the bottom of that division in perpetuity.
I think people don't realize how bad it's been for how long it has.
It took years for me, I know personally, to sort of unglue myself or come off the idea that, yeah, the Giants may be down this year, but they're pretty stable. Decades. Like, it's been, it's been a decade since that was the case.
5-25 in their last 30 games.
Yeah.
5-25. That's as bad as you can be in
the league.
There's
the one Dable flare-up when he first gets the gig. Other than that, it's just a giant pile of crap.
They're currently the worst team in the NFL. They have the number one pick, meaning they have the easiest schedule, oddly, because their schedule seemed brutal at the start of the year, but among the teams that have the same record as them, so they win the tiebreaker. But they are, over the last 3 years now, 11-35. If you go back to 2016, they have one season where they've been above 500. And it's not like there's a bunch of 7-8 win seasons in there. Since 2016, they've gone 3-13, 5-11, 4-12, 6-10, 4-13. Then the year where they won a playoff game with Dable going 9-7-1, which is about as mediocre a regular season as you can have. But they beat the Vikings.
Yeah, it was
in
very Rivera year one.
Then 6-11, 3-14, 2-11. And in that time, by the way, they've gone through half dozen coaches. McAdoo, remember him? Spagnuolo, who came in as the interim. Then Shurmur, then Judge, then Dable, now Kafka. They had McAdoo for two seasons, blew him out. Shurmur for two seasons, blew him out. Judge for two seasons, fired him. Dable for three-plus seasons, fired him. Kafka, who's their interim now, I don't think is a real candidate.
No.
So they're about to hire what will be their fifth head coach since the 2019 season. That's crazy. but it's just
five since 2019.
It's just a bad organization.
Yeah, they're bad.
And I don't think when we talk about the worst in the league, they come up, but they should.
They should. I'm telling you, that front office, off-season show, did more damage to them in football circles, I think, than any of the records possibly could have. The unsophistication that they were discussing personnel matters with.
Right.
The way, like, I was at a barbecue one time. They're like, what's that guy's name from the Raiders who did okay, had a pretty good running year? Josh Jacobs, man. How's he? That's how they were talking to each other about personnel. Like, the millionaires, the front office, the decision-making people who should have the most sophisticated language possible to make these informed, incredible personnel decisions. We're like, what's that dude from, what's his name, bro? Jacobs, man. How was he? Yeah, he was kind of hurt, but he was fine. Like, that's how they spoke to each other. I'm going, oh, my God, these are incompetent nincompoops.
That show definitely hurt their status and I think looked terrible on Joe Shane. But it's based on how it went after, I think, more than anything. We just had yesterday, if you missed the interview, it was actually awesome. So you should go podcast it wherever you get your audio. But we had the director of Hard Knocks on,
Steve
who
Trout.
Was a director of that season. And I asked him a question along those lines. Are we never going to see it again because it went so bad for the Giants? He said what I kind of feel, which is, well, if it didn't work out so terribly that Saquon Barkley left. Like, if Saquon had this year last year, where he's just kind of regular, pretty good, that doesn't look that terrible.
No one would have cared.
It's that he went on to have this record, unbelievable 2,000-yard season. And some of the other moves they made backfired. But if they did everything the exact same, where Brian Daboll looks like a bit of a goofball, kind of class clown, or, you know, they have the weird conversations with Saquon, and then things don't backfire, or they have a good season, it wouldn't have looked as bad. I think we just saw a lot of their decisions and how they came to them, and then they batted 223.
Yeah.
And we're going, this 88% of stuff that didn't work. How did we get here? Or what have you. But, man, the Giants are in trouble. The good news for them is they're favorites this weekend against Washington at home.
We're the get-right game, baby.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's take a look at the NFL matchups all over the league this weekend with playoff ramifications. Try to dive into some of the big storylines in football. We are live at Kraft House in Fairfax on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Live from Craft House in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner, we're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Thank you for making the show part of your day. We're here for another hour, so as you get out of the office and head home on this Friday night, if you're in the area driving near the corner over in Fairfax, come on out, get a beer, eat some food, have a happy hour with us, and let's get ready for week 15 in the NFL season. It's funny, Danny, I was thinking about it. I said, well, this week will be a little easier to go through all the games because I'll just do the ones that are playoff relevant. And then I looked at the schedule, and I'm not exaggerating. First glance, the only game that does not have any playoff ramifications in the entire league is the Giants and the Commanders.
Is ours, right?
Quite literally. 3-10 Washington, 2-11 New York, that's it. Every other game, even the bad teams like the Browns or the Titans or any of these other clubs, they're playing really good football teams.
Yeah, this is why when they stagger the schedule like this with all these divisional games, in theory, they're all going to matter, or most of them are going to matter. It's a really high shooting percentage, even ones that aren't. Teams in the same division, you get a Packers-Broncos. That's probably pretty important.
But this weekend Seattle is like Colts, a cross-conference weekend. It's not even the divisional weekend for most teams. You got Raiders and Eagles. You got Packers and Broncos. Like, I mean, every single game, it just worked out that way. But let's run through it. This is week 15 in the NFL. First game is Browns-Bears on Sunday, 1 o'clock. So storyline for Cleveland is Shedeur Sanders coming off of a really good outing. Looked like a starting NFL quarterback last time out. They lose, but he throws for 364 yards and 3 touchdowns. He also ran for 29 yards and a touchdown in the game. They'll try to make it 2 straight quality starts for Shedeur. He has played well, or fine, I should say, at least, as a bar, against the really bad defenses they've faced, the bad teams. And then he struggled a lot more against the good teams. So this is a stiff test with Chicago. This defense is very, very turnover happy and opportunistic, so that's something to track. The Bears just lost for the first time since Week 8. They snapped a 5-game winning streak with a loss to the Green Bay Packers. They probably should have won that game. It was 28-21. They were driving. Caleb Williams misses a throw, throws a pick in the end zone. Bad decision by him. It's amazing to me they get done what they do with him, missing so many things. Because I'm not trying to beat up on Caleb Williams, but if you look at completion percentage over expected, just some of the stuff they leave on the field, he's still not having a very good season. He's a very, very average player, and yet they're 9-4 right now, and everything they want is right out in front of them.
Yeah, he gets to average in such a unique way, right?
Right.
Where it's an unbelievable, oh my God, throw, and then how did you miss that? And it ends up at a 5 out of 10, but it's with a 10 out of 10 and a 1 out of 10. But yeah, your point, just real, I didn't mean to cut you off, but they're playing Cleveland. The next 3 games, Green Bay, San Fran, Detroit, all teams with playoff aspirations will be fighting for either divisions, playoff seeding, or in between. They'll probably be underdogs in most of those games, you would figure. This is one you got to harvest here. If you're 9-5 with Detroit breathing down your neck, who's at 8-5, now tough game for them here this weekend for the Lions, which we'll get to. But this is one of those, if you want to get to where you want to get to, you probably ought to win this game.
Yeah, they're 1 game ahead of the Lions, but Detroit's got the tiebreaker. So a Bears loss to the Browns with the Lions win this weekend. Now Detroit has the tiebreaker momentarily, and you will have gone from first to third in the division and potentially even out of the playoffs in the span of 2 weeks from the 1 seed in the NFC to out of the playoffs. So they got to beat the Browns to keep pace and stay in the postseason for now. You got the Ravens and the Bengals in the AFC North, 6-7 Baltimore, 4-9 Cincinnati. That game comes your way from Ohio. The Ravens have lost 2 straight to the Bengals. They got blown out 32-14, and then to the Steelers 27-22. They were getting away with not playing well against the Browns, against the Jets, and now they've stopped getting away with it. here's your season on the line for Baltimore. You get one more of these. You can't fall to 9-8. They can eliminate the Bengals while also giving themselves a really good chance to make the playoffs in a terrible division this weekend. But if they let up again, by the way, it'd be a second loss to Cincinnati in 3 weeks. They're also cooked.
Yep.
And the Steelers all of a sudden are not just in the driver's seat, but they're a win away next week from clinching the division at that point.
Bewildering how the Ravens are here. I understand Lamar Jackson's not 100% or whatever the rumor is. I don't know. And I'm not really that concerned about it. I just can't believe they're this bad. Defensively, they were beyond horrendous for the first half of the season. Post bye week, they've been good, even plus in that regard. It's the offense that just has been broken. It just doesn't look right. Whether it's throwing the ball, running the ball with Derrick Henry, it feels like they're out of rhythm. They just can't get going on that side of the football. And you're right, it kind of came back to finally bite them starting a couple of weeks ago to this very same Cincinnati team. For Cincy, it's just, you know, they're, I don't know if they're playing for Zach Taylor's job or pride or what. Just remind everybody that we're still pretty capable when Joe Burrow plays. But the offense ain't the problem. No T. Higgins for them this weekend. But, yeah, a chance for Baltimore to salvage their meager playoff hopes. So it's one of those things where I'm going, I don't care if they do get in. Nobody from that division is worth a damn right now.
Lamar Jackson had a stretch where 4 out of 5 games sub 200 passing yards. And, oh, by the way, he has 2 40-yard rushing games since week 1 of the season.
Yeah, something's going on, man.
Yeah, you could tell me he's healthy if you want to. Then defenses are defending him and keeping him in the pocket better or something. But this is now officially weird in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. I choose to believe, like a lot of people, that he's just not quite right. It's hockey style, and we don't really know exactly the extent of the injury. Texans hosting the Cardinals on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Houston, 12 o'clock local. Texans heavy favorites. They should get to 9-5 in this game. Houston, best defense in the NFL, winners of 5 straight, 6 of 7. The Texans, 20-10 victors over the Kansas City Chiefs. They shoved it on Mahomes. They have not given up 20 points in 5 weeks since they played Jacksonville. And in fact, they've only given up 20 points once since week 7, October 20th. So you want a dominant defense? This is it.
Yeah, that's your bogey, right? I mean, they're not going to blow anybody out. I don't think they have that club in the bag. Their blowouts are you know, 9-point wins, which is what they're favored by this week, 9.5, against a bad Arizona team that's all but packed it in, and they're playing out the string, it feels like. But Houston is a team I would not want to see, full stop, in the postseason, just because you know it's going to come down to a one-possession game, and they're going to play tight, and they're going to play tough. That defense travels. They're really, really good.
They're within a game of Jacksonville. The Jags are 9-4. The Texans are 8-5. They don't play again this season. They beat Jacksonville by 7, 36-29, the last time the two teams played. They lost to Jacksonville 17-10 early in the season, so there was a bit of a split there between the two. But speaking of the Jaguars, they should win and keep pace here this weekend because they're hosting the Jets, and the Jets are down to quarterback 3 at this point. The Jets are 3-10. The Jaguars are 9-4. Jacksonville gets to 10-4. No matter what happens in the Houston game, they will go into the final 3 weeks of the season with a real chance to try to solidify the South. Nobody saw that coming.
Yeah. I mean, people thought they might be better, but nobody had it going like this. With the Colts in the driver's seat for 80% of the season, now they're falling apart. They might miss the playoffs altogether. And the Jags were great early, big bad middle, and now they're surging once again, winners of 4 straight. Their schedule to close all of a sudden got a little softer, right? With the Jets, who we already knew. Denver, that's a tough ball game for anybody, at Denver especially. Who the hell are the Colts going to be in week 17 of the season? And then they close again with the Titans for a second time, who they just woodshedded last week. So Jacksonville, we could look up at an 11 or 12 win team here. They could easily win 3 out of 4 down the stretch.
Chargers
easily.
And Chiefs from Arrowhead in Kansas City this weekend. For the Chargers, they got a couple of tough games still to go after Kansas City. They're playing Dallas on the road. Then they're hosting Houston. We already talked about the best defense in the league. Then they're at Denver, one of the hardest places to play, and maybe the second best defense in the league. Statistically, they've been number one for most of the season. So you're talking about, if you count the Chiefs this week, the toughest 4-game slate remaining in all of football for the Chargers, who are 9-4. If you lose to Kansas City, I think you get a little puckered here if you're a Chargers fan, that maybe you could miss out.
It's the toughest down-the-stretch schedule of any playoff contender, I think.
Without question.
Or close
but
to it.
Here's why this game's so interesting. If you win, not only are you almost certainly getting in,
yeah,
the Chiefs are dead. they might even mathematically be eliminated. But regardless, at eight losses, they will absolutely, unequivocally, and irrefutably not make the playoffs. So you have the chance once and for all in that division for all those Brandon Staley versus Kansas City games.
Stake
everyone
in the heart,
you,
brother.
You have the stake. They are laying there lifeless. You have a chance to drive it into their chest.
That would truly be the proverbial nail in the coffin as you're thinking about it. But, yeah, I mean, for the Chargers, they're right now the 5 seed at 9-4. The Bills, I think, are, you know, probably going to win two at least, maybe three of their next 4 games to finish with 12 wins or so. To keep pace, the Chargers have to win some tough, challenging games, and that starts this weekend for a team fighting for their playoff lives in Kansas City. But the road for Kansas City as it stands now is precarious with two teams ahead of them, before they even get to Houston, who's surging. Like, to get to the 7 seed, miracles have to happen already. This could be the end.
You mentioned the Bills, who are 9-4. They're chasing the Patriots in the AFC East. New England's off of a bye at 11-2. The Patriots host the Bills at 1 o'clock on Sunday. New England has not lost since week 3 against Pittsburgh. They have ripped off 10 consecutive wins, the longest streak in the NFL, and now off of a bye. So, similarly to Washington, this is the opposite year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? They're the Commanders of a year ago. They're doing it better. But at 11-2 now, they too have a tough schedule in the next couple weeks. Bills and then Ravens. Things lighten up with the Jets and the Dolphins. But if they beat Buffalo, they're going to win the AFC East. A lot of people have said, oh, they're not any good. They haven't beaten anybody. Well, they played the Bills in week 5 in primetime, and they beat them. They played the Bucs before Tampa Bay was bad just a handful of weeks ago, and they beat them by 5. So it's true. They've had the easiest schedule in the league. There's no doubt about that. But they are 2-0 against the best two teams they've played. And now with the Bills desperate, Josh Allen cooking, if you can beat Buffalo at home in week 15 in a December game to cement the division, I think people got to leave them alone about who they've played. When it's one thing if you never beat a good team. When you've only played 3 or 4 of them and you've won all those, plus you've blown out all the bad teams, you're just pretty good.
Yeah, what else am I supposed to do, right? That's a how-to-like-me-now type situation. For Buffalo, though, you touched on it. If they win this weekend, they're 10-4, and they're all but in, because two of their final 3 games, Cleveland and the Jets, with Philly sandwiched in there.
And it may not even matter. You'd like to win the division for sure, but even if you don't, you're going to be a favorite on the road at some crappy division winner.
You fully like make
you could go to Jacksonville as a 4-point favorite.
Right, yeah, if you're one of those teams, you end up as like the 6th seed. Someone's going, oh, crap, we just drew Buffalo. Right?
And you don't have to worry about going to Arrowhead.
Right. Yeah, that's your house of horrors. So they still have as good a chance as anybody. So that's a big one this weekend for them. Not for the division, but kind of solidify playoff standing, to your point.
We'll finish up our trek through the playoff-relevant games. There are many of them in the NFL. We'll do that next. And at the top of the hour at 6 from Kraft House out here in Fairfax, we're going to put the spotlight on the Commanders and the Giants with our player to lock in on, our predictions. We'll even go through some of the props and go over and under. All of that coming up before we say goodbye from Kraft House in Fairfax on G&D. It's a Football Friday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a 2-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We're meeting Slash's neighbors
we
out here.
We just got on the record dirt, neighborhood gossip and dirt about our very own Chris Russell.
The things that Chris Russell does
he's been
doesn't
accused
do,
of doing. There are rumors.
Not cutting his grass.
Oh, my God. The garbage left over. Whose engine block is that in your front yard? What are you doing?
When he grills, the crazy things that he does that annoys his neighbors. Can you believe it?
The weird screams at all hours.
Reamy, old buddy, old pal. Hair, I took care of it.
Harry, I took care of it.
We're taking you through Week 15 matchups in the NFL. We're just about done breaking down the playoff-relevant games, but let's go rapid-fire through the remaining contests. That lets us set the table for Commanders-Giants at 6 o'clock in our final segment, taking you up to 6:30. We're live in Fairfax at Kraft House today. Picking up the action, I want to go Eagles hosting Raiders. Philadelphia's got trouble in paradise here. Forget that they've lost three in a row, which is a pretty big deal. Dallas, Chicago, and L.A. People realize that, right?
Yeah.
They've lost three straight games to the Cowboys, Bears, and Chargers. But on top of that, even when they were winning four in a row, and at that point when they were 8-2, they didn't like each other very much. So now, it's not even that the process is bad, but the results are good. Now the process seems rotten, and the results are bad as well. They get the gift of the Raiders, and they have the softest. Charmin. Absolute easy schedule that you could have with Raiders twice against the Commanders, one more tough game against the Bills. So they're going to win the East. I have no delusions about that. But they need to put it together now so that they can actually have a shot when they get to the playoffs.
And that's the thing, right? I mean, they're sitting there going, God, we need a win. Who do we play this week? The Raiders? Oh, thank God. Right? Now, imagine if they lose. But as a quick side. So losing the three games, they lost a field goal game to Dallas, divisional game, one score game plus to Chicago on the Friday after, a bit of a weird thing, and then overtime game to the Chargers. So it's not like this blowout free fall, but everyone knows if you watch them, it just doesn't look right, and they need to get right before the post.
Here's a fun storyline for that game. Geno Smith's out for the Raiders. You know who's starting against the Eagles?
No.
Geno's backup?
Who is it?
Kenny Pickett.
Is it really?
You know what team he played for last year?
Steelers?
The Eagles.
Oh, that's right. I missed the time in between. Yeah.
Kenny Pickett.
Oh, because he picked us apart.
His former teammate.
That's right.
Packers and Broncos in Denver. Is this the week where the Broncos don't find a way to escape with a win after not playing that well for stretches of a game? They are tied with the New England Patriots right now at 10 consecutive wins, the most in football. They have not lost since week three. They're in the exact same boat as New England. Now, the reason people talk more kindly about the Patriots is because, with the same record at 11-2, they haven't gotten the same quarterback play. You've got Drake May on the precipice of an MVP award, maybe, and Bo Nix feels like a guy they're winning in spite of at times. We saw that here in Washington in their 1-point 27-26 win. They blew out the Raiders. It didn't look like it, but they actually had a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter last week. But now you level up and play a varsity schedule here. Packers, Jaguars, Chiefs, Chargers. Very difficult Final Four. I actually think they split these games, and they go something like 13-4. But if you tell me they go 3-1 or 1-3, I'll bet you they lose three. Like, this is a treacherous final month.
Yeah, and we said this last year about Kansas City. It never happened until the Super Bowl. But a team that's really good despite some of the other external factors stats-wise, you go, eventually it's got to come home to roost, and maybe it does with a difficult part of their schedule. Green Bay, though, is almost like their NFC version, where you're going, aren't you good? Can you just blow somebody out at some point instead of having, you know, comeback wins or miraculous plays against the Giants or – one-score wins, eking it out against Chicago. It took Caleb Williams throwing a bad pick at the end of the game for you not to go to overtime. When are you just going to beat the hell out of somebody? It doesn't really seem like they have in their DNA, and yet there they are at 9-3-1 at the top of the division.
Lions-Rams should be a blast. 425 East time on Sunday. Detroit's 8-5, has to get a win. They've gone every other. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, and then beat the Dallas Cowboys. They've got Rams, Steelers, Vikings, Bears. As I mentioned, though, with a win over the Rams, the Lions could catch the Bears this weekend and for the first time in weeks be a playoff team as of next weekend. They've got to get a win. The Rams are 10-3. They're tied with the Seattle Seahawks for the top record in the West. They play the Seahawks on Thursday Night Football this coming week, 6 days away. So if they can win, they'll go into that game in first place with the tiebreaker and a chance to all but clinch the division. If they lose to the Lions, Seattle's got the Colts and 44-year-old Phil Rivers might be starting for Indianapolis. You know the Seahawks are going to win that game, get to 11-3. Now you're a game behind the Seahawks, and they're about to take away the tiebreaker with a win over you this coming week on Thursday Night Football. Interestingly about that game, by the way, it is in Seattle. So you're on the road, short week, which is really, really difficult. Everything bodes well for the Seahawks if the Lions can upset the Rams.
Yeah, a huge one for the Lions, too. If they win this game, your season's back on, right? Where you look at Pittsburgh next week, very winnable, at Minnesota, who's pretty much falling apart, and then kind of a win and get in, presumably, against the Bears, who you've already shellacked once earlier on this season. So if Detroit goes on the road and upsets the Rams, the Rams are maybe the best team in the NFL, if not one, two, or three, whatever, doesn't matter. Detroit needs it really bad. If they do it, all of a sudden you're 9-5 and in the driver's seat.
Primetime games this week in week 15. Sunday Night Football is Vikings-Cowboys. Minnesota's 5-8. Dallas is 6-6-1. Vikings have been eliminated, but, all but eliminated. Mathematically, not yet. Dallas cannot have another loss. If they run the table, they will get in. They've got the Vikings, the Chargers, the Commanders, and the Giants. So the next two are their biggest challenges. They're trying to keep their hopes alive. And then the Monday Night Football game is huge for both teams. Miami, not because of the playoffs, but Mike McDaniel, sneaky, might save his job. Four straight wins with a quality win against Buffalo, the Madrid victory over Washington. They went into their bye, came out with wins over the Saints and the Jets. So they've gone from 3-7 to 6-7. They knock off the Steelers. They could be 7-7 going into the final three games of the year. He may actually keep his job altogether. Meanwhile, the Steelers are 7-6. They beat Baltimore. They still play them again. But a win over the Dolphins, and they're in a good spot to win the North, especially if the Ravens have another letdown.
Yeah, and they're playing Cincinnati, who beat the pants off them a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, for Pittsburgh, this is for the division, basically. You harvest your nuts here, you end up at 8-6. Who knows what Baltimore's going to do the rest of the way. And someone's got to represent that division in the postseason. It's a shame because there's a whole bunch of teams that are better in both conferences.
All right, Dad's got some projected totals from FanDuel for player props for the Commanders game this week. So we'll go over-under on those, try to find a game script we like, and we will set the table with predictions for Commanders Giants in our final segment coming up live from Kraft House in Fairfax. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.